AI is getting really good at making fake voices and faces seem real, and pretty soon they'll be indistinguishable from reality. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with a wake-up call on why this is serious bad news after this.
Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Deepfakes are AI-generated videos of people or events designed to fool people into thinking they're real, and they're getting very good at it. Soon, fake video humans will be able to speak, respond, and interact in real time. Some even have fake heartbeats to keep security experts from spotting them. That's bad enough, but research shows that even though regular people can't detect deepfakes, they think they can. And that misplaced confidence puts them at risk for financial scams, romance scams, and worse. When society can no longer trust what we see on the screen, maybe it's time to start putting the screens down. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, taking a stand against AI at realisgood.org.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Catherine Albrecht here, and I think I'm live on YouTube if you want to check it out and see if I'm streaming up there. I haven't done this in a couple months, so hopefully I'm going to be able to pull it off today. So check it out. I'm in my home studio. This is a little different environment, a little different background, and I'm still playing around with lighting and I don't know, plants and other things, but hopefully I am live here. I'm not able currently to see my comments on YouTube. I'll get that set up for tomorrow. So if you do want to comment, I am in the chat room at catherine-albrecht.com. If you click on the live chat, you can listen to me there. And hopefully I am streaming on YouTube. So I'm going to, let me click over to my chat room and see if people can see me there. Let's see. All right, I am logged in, and yeah, no comments yet, but hopefully I'm live there. You can also text or call in to the show. The number is 877-536-1360, and that is the number for KHNC, where you can text or call in and let me know your thoughts. Back on YouTube. It should be kind of exciting. People who were listening to the show back in the fall know that up until about mid-December, I was broadcasting on YouTube virtually every day doing the show live, and ran into just a couple of snags with YouTube where they've got some pretty picky AI watching content, and I had a guest on who said something that YouTube didn't like, so I'll be very careful not to talk about topics that upset YouTube. I think that number's going to to grow. We're probably going to find that artificial intelligence before too terribly long will be upsetting YouTube also, but hopefully not right now. All right, I've got a couple of stories up right now on my screen that I want to share with you, and in future broadcasts, I'm hopefully going to be able to actually bring up those windows so you can see the windows live on the YouTube live stream as well. The one that's on my mind right now is the new research out that says we need to eat 30 vegetables a week. And I have, I don't know if you've been trying to eat more vegetables or get more vegetables in your diet. It's the wrong time of year to really do a lot of fresh vegetables. Most of the vegetables that we're getting are imported from, South America, where it's growing season right now. But let me pull this article up and I'll talk to you about your 30 vegetables a week. Some of these are a little questionable, I have to say. They consider putting spices like, thyme or marjoram or cinnamon into your food as a third of a serving of vegetables. And I was thinking that ought to make it a lot easier for those of us who in the wintertime are eating a lot of heavier foods, maybe chili and I guess even chili would be considered to be full of vegetables. But let me pull up the article. Let's see. Why is it not coming? I think it'll be here in a second. All right. This is the Telegraph, UK Telegraph. And this seems to me to be the first time that I've seen dietary advice about incorporating more vegetables that seems actually pretty doable. They are saying to eat 30 plants a week to transform your gut health. And I've talked a lot about gut health on the show before, particularly things like methylcellulose and guar gum and xanthan gum and all of the thickening ingredients and emulsifiers that seem to be in virtually all of the processed food in America today and are making their way around the globe. Those things will kill your microbiome. They'll actually kill the gut bacteria in your gut. And eventually, if you eat too much of them or eat them too regularly, they will lead to inflammatory bowel disease. They will lead to leaky gut syndrome and a whole host of other intestinal problems that are epidemic in the U.S. ever since they've begun introducing those things into our diet. So eating 30 plants a week means actual plants. It doesn't mean things that have been emulsified and blended up and turned into crackers, but it actually means vegetables. So let me read this. Eating 30 vegetables a week sounds like an awful lot of hassle. And if any of us are tightening our belts, a feast of feet of feasting beyond most ordinary families. I like their alliteration there. For me, eating 30 vegetables a week is very doable, especially because I just invested in a juicer and I love it. When I don't feel like slicing vegetables, cooking, sauteing them, or putting them in the oven, or roasting them, or whatever I might do with them, or snacking on them raw, one of the things that I am able to do is to juice them and just drink the juice. So I have been buying 3-pound bags of organic carrots and putting them through my juicer, taking that carrot juice, mixing it with orange juice, and a little bit of turmeric juice, which if you are familiar with turmeric, it's that very yellow spice that Indian cuisine uses to make things bright yellow. Use it in curry and elsewhere. It's also an incredible health food. And if you shop at, there's a couple different markets I can get it at, but if you shop at an Asian market or if you shop at an Indian market or some kind of high-end, I suppose, regular American markets, you can find turmeric root. You don't need much. A little goes a long way. There are little small roots. They're about this big, maybe about 2 inches long. They come in a pack. It's usually about $4 to $5 for a pack of maybe 6 or 8 of them. And when you're running your juicer and you run the carrot juice through, go ahead and drop a couple of those in as well. And then I usually add about a half a cup of water because it's very concentrated, very orange, and all of that juicy goodness will come out from the turmeric. And if you take that and you mix it with the carrot juice and the orange juice, I like to add a little water and stevia as well because it's a little strong and thick. Then you've got a drink in your fridge that anytime you feel like you need some vegetable goodness, you can get the beta carotene and the vitamin A and all the healthy goodness from that juice. I then take the carrot pulp, because when you put carrots through a carrot or through a juicer, you get lots of carrot juice, but you also get lots of pulp that comes out. And I have actually turned that into muffins, and they're super delicious. They are filled with fiber. They are moist, they're tasty, and I love them. So I have been also cutting back, and I recommend that you might want to try this as well. I've been cutting back on wheat. I did a show about 6 months ago, I think, on the different composition of wheat these days versus what our grandparents and ancestors ate. The reason wheat is so incredibly hard on our bodies now is not only the glyphosates and the pesticides and the genetic modification of the wheat itself, but it's also breeding that has been happening for generations now to increase and change the levels of gluten in the wheat in such a way that it is causing a lot of health problems for people who are sensitive to those glutens. Pretty much all of us are. None of us really were wired to eat those kinds of glutens, but some of us are more sensitive than others. So what I have found to be incredibly helpful is just at my local Meijer supermarket. You can do this at a Safeway or a Kroger or a Piggly Wiggly, depending on where you live in the country. You can go into a regular supermarket, and in the baking section, you can find a bag of organic rye flour. And organic rye flour is different. It does not contain the gluten. You can't really bake with it. It comes out like a rock. I've tried to make bread with it before, and it's delicious, but it is like a rock. It doesn't really rise, but it is a wonderful ingredient to add to anything that you would normally add flour to, and you can use it for a lot of your recipes. I even made organic rye noodles because I wanted to give a try to something other than wheat-based noodles. And so those, taking that combination of organic rye and the pulp from the carrots and the carrot juice, the turmeric and the orange juice, I just feel better when I do that. When I don't do it, especially in the wintertime, because we have an inclination to focus on, I don't know, heavier foods like potatoes and stews and meat and breads and things of that nature in the wintertime, I don't feel as good. But if I actually drink my turmeric carrot orange juice, I feel a lot better. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about ways that you can get your 30 vegetables in every week based on new research that's come out. This is Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and back on YouTube. All right, I'll be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Night watchman, how long till daybreak? Night watchman, how long till daybreak? How long will this night last? How long will this night last? Morning's coming, morning's coming, but for now, it's still night.
All right, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here, doing my best to try to make YouTube work again. Hopefully, I just got some input that I needed to turn my microphone up on YouTube, and hopefully it's a little bit louder now. I'm noticing it's not quite up to where I want it, so let me see if I can boost it just a dot more. ABC, there we go. All right, hopefully that will, right there, I think. All right, nothing like doing this on the fly. So hopefully that is loud enough on YouTube. I'm trying to just hit it so it goes to the top of the green, but we'll see. All right, well, I'll wait to get some feedback on how YouTube is, how well YouTube's working. I'm doing my best here. All right, super. And I do have the chat here. Let's see, I can see on the chat, we've got a comment in from Peter saying hello and a comment in from Mary saying studio looks fantastic. So thank you very much. Working on the lighting here. I put up my 10 million watts of light. That's kind of an exaggeration, but a couple thousand watts of light actually around the ceiling of the room that I'm in right now. In fact, I wonder if I can aim the camera just up a little bit and you can see. See those lights up there? Those lights all along the top of my ceiling are my anti-seasonal affective disorder lights. They are a string of lights from Harbor Freight, and each one of them contains a, I removed the 40, the little small bulbs that come with them. They're the outdoor bulbs that you put along your patio or on your back, I don't know, your back fence. And I removed those lights and instead put in 100 watt lights from that I got off of Amazon with nice plastic bulbs so they don't break, and put them up on my wall today. So it was a little too bright when I turned them on. I love it. I can work in this environment happily because I have, I don't know, probably 30 100 watt bulbs in this room right now. They're not actually using up 100 watts of electricity. I think they're using up like 13 watts a piece. But it is bright. It is really, really bright. And when I turn that light on, trying to come on this camera in order to broadcast to you on YouTube, it was way too bright. I was so washed out. The Start Mail sign you see behind me, the private AI-free email program that I helped to found and create, that sign was completely washed out. You couldn't even see it. And I was, looking very pale. So I turned my lights off. I have my regular lights on in here. It's really nice. So, all right. Well, back to what I was talking about, health. And I think light and just feeling good in the wintertime when things are so dreary and bleary and miserable. We need to, our tendency is to want to stay in, eat heavy foods, be in the dark, kind of under the covers, and not go anywhere, not do anything, not exercise. And the solution, I think, to the winter blahs is get as much light as you can. You can pray for light outdoors. It seems to have worked pretty well for much of the month here. And consider getting these bright lights indoors and then focusing on food. All right, so I want to talk about this article, How to Eat 30 Plants a Week to Transform Your Health. And I'm just going to read it. Eating 30 different plants a week sounds like a hassle and a feat of feasting beyond ordinary families. Love that alliteration there. Yet increasingly, this is, researchers are telling us this is the magic number of vegetables to cram into your weekly shopping if you want to live a long and healthy life. The American Gut Project, this is a project that began in 2018, looking at kind of a meta research survey where they looked at lots and lots of different studies on gut health and found that Americans' gut health is appallingly bad. It's not surprising. We are eating things that are destroying our gut health. We are not eating things that contribute to our gut health, and we are paying the price. We're paying the price in terms of obesity, but we're also paying the price in terms of mental health. And that is because research in the last 10 years has found that our mental health, the dopamine, the serotonin, all of the drugs that regulate our emotions, our moods, and our mental functioning are produced in the gut. People don't realize that dopamine and serotonin and all of those things are not produced by some gland deep inside the brain, but they're actually emerging from the process of breaking down our food by the microorganisms in our gut. And that's what keeps our brain health so healthy. So if you are, I think I just did a vignette on this, the college students who play more than 10 hours of video games a week are much less healthy than those who play fewer than 10 hours a week. And they are eating food that is unhealthy. It is not just video games, I would venture to say. It is all of the screen time that we're spending. What researchers have found is that screen time actually changes the composition of the food we consume, especially video games. It causes people to, video games cause people to eat more than their counterparts who are not playing video games. They actually consume more calories. There's a difference in appetite. There's a difference in the kinds of foods that you want to eat when you are playing video games and looking into screens than when you're living just in the real world. The I guess the stereotype of the video game player living in his mother's basement and drinking lots of Mountain Dew and surrounded by Hot Pocket wrappers and pizza containers and candy wrappers and such, that stereotype is a stereotype for a reason, because that is the kind of food that you're actually more inclined to eat when you're staring at a screen indoors and especially playing video games. So you take all of that, you put it together, and you say, well, why is it then that young people in this country have such terrible mental health? Well, there's a whole host of reasons, but one of the easiest ones to fix is diet. So if you have a, an adult son who's gaming in your basement, maybe take him a glass of orange juice with some turmeric and carrot juice in it, and just get those healthy phytonutrients into your body or the bodies of the people that you love who are eating junk food. It can help. All right, so this 2018 American Gut Project combined the dozens of researchers, more than 10,000, quote, citizen scientists. This was across English-speaking countries, the U.S., the U.K., and Australia. And they found that the one differentiating factor was how many vegetables people ate and how much processed food they ate. It really did come down to that. The people who ate 30 different plants a week are far more likely to have guts populated with the most beneficial bacteria than those who eat only 10. Now, this is the encouraging part. This is not just fruits and vegetables. Anything that grows counts towards your 30 a week. And by that, we don't mean, calves that grow into cows. We're talking about things that grow in the ground. That includes nuts that grow on trees. It includes seeds. It includes lentils, all of the beans, the pulses, the herbs, and spices. And it even counts tea and coffee, popcorn, and dark chocolate. So there are plenty of ways to get your growing vegetables, your plant foods, into you without having to become Popeye and eat a whole lot of spinach. White pasta and bread do not count. So anything made with white flour does not count. White rice does not count. Processed and refined grains do not count. Sugar, even though it comes from a sugar cane plant, does not count. However, whole meal, meaning whole grain bread, right, whole wheat bread, or the organic rye that I eat, those do count. What is a plant point? So they're saying 30 plant points a week. Let's see. Similar to the five-a-day rule, one piece of fruit, or approximately 80 grams of vegetables or legumes, what did that be, like a half a cup, counts as a single point. A tablespoon of seeds is considered a plant point. So you can eat sesame seeds, you could eat sunflower seeds. Any herbs or spices added to a dish, as I said earlier, contributes a quarter of a point. And we need to all aim for 30 points a week to get the full benefit of variety in our diet. So it's not just eating the vegetables. If you ate broccoli every single day of your life for the rest of your life and ate 30 points of broccoli, it wouldn't count. You actually need the variety of different plants in your diet. You needn't fret about exact measurements. A sprinkle of parsley here and there, a few nuts over your week can really add up. This 30 plants a week isn't a strict scientific threshold. It was just observational research showing that people who eat a wider variety of plant foods tend to have more diverse gut microbiomes. Now, let me get back to what I was saying about the emulsifiers in the gut. And for those of you who listened to a whole series of shows that I did on this a few months back, this will be review. But for many people, for many listeners, this will be new information. The epidemic in this country of gastrointestinal problems, and that's going all the way down to gastrointestinal cancers in Americans in their 20s and 30s, something we never saw before. Our grandparents' generation never saw that. Gastrointestinal cancer has always been a disease of older people, typically in their 70s or 80s or 90s, not something that's occurring in young people in their 20s and 30s. So we're clearly doing something wrong to our gut health as young people in this country. And what is it that has changed between our grandparents' generation and our generation in terms of what young people are consuming is the amount of processed food. So speaking of these emulsifiers that have me so concerned, and I literally went through my kitchen and threw away everything containing xanthan gum or guar gum or hydroxymethyl cellulose. I threw it all away because what it does is it emulsifies the lining of your intestines. So it's useful in food. The reason the food manufacturers have put it into all of the processed food is it mixes things up and creates a gel. So if you are trying to keep your salad dressing, for example, from separating into vinegar on the bottom and oil on the top, then if you add the emulsifier and stir it up, well, lo and behold, it stays nice and gel-like and a good consistency. Same is also true for sour cream. Cheap sour creams will contain these gums. And the same is also true for breads that you don't want to have spoil. If you put an emulsifier in there, they stay nice and gooey and moist. All right, I'll tell you why that's a problem when we come back. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, casting all your worries upon Him, for He cares for you.
All right, I'm back. I'm actually managing after nearly 2 months or over 2 months off of YouTube. Looks like I'm back. So I'm delighted to be here with you. It'll take me a little while to get all of my, I don't know, to where it's just autopilot and automatic, but I think it's coming back to me. It's like riding a bike, being on YouTube. It's great to be back. So let me read you a study. This is out of France. Now, let me tell you about these food emulsifiers. So they are the food industry loves them because you can take things like rice milk or things like banana milk, I think is one that my daughter actually was bummed that she can't have anymore because of the hydroxymethyl cellulose in it. The reason the food industry loves it is that if you've ever tried to make rice milk at home, you know that you can take rice, you can soak it, you can blenderize it, you can strain it, and you can make rice milk, and it's as thin as water. It is not like milk. It's not creamy at all. If you want that creamy mouthfeel, whether it is in something like rice milk or banana milk, or whether it's in ice cream or salad dressing or sour cream, the cheaper sour creams, or cheap cream cheese, for example, then you can accomplish that without adding the expensive ingredients, without adding the actual cream, and without adding the actual things that cost money and cost calories. So a lot of the lower calorie foods that you will get if you buy low calorie or fat-free versions of dairy foods, for example, the way they achieve the creamy mouthfeel without the fat is by adding these emulsifiers. So they're incredibly useful for taking processed food, making it shelf stable. It doesn't separate. It doesn't go stale. I found it in crackers. I found it in virtually everything I looked at in my kitchen contained a xanthan gum or a guar gum or a carrageenan or one version or other of this, and I had to get rid of all of it. In fact, even tortillas. I have not eaten a store-bought tortilla since discovering this because the way they keep the tortillas from becoming stale and breaking is by adding all of these different emulsifiers to them. So how is it that they're causing problems in our gut? They cause problems because they are emulsifiers. Think about your gut. Your stomach lining and your intestines have to contain a layer of mucus in between the food you eat and your actual flesh. If they did not, then the hydrochloric acid in your stomach, for example, would just eat a hole right through your body and probably leak out. You have holes in you because it dissolves meat, dissolves flesh. So your body produces a mucosal layer. It is a kind of a slimy mucousy layer that is meant to be there, and it lines your intestines so that the food that you eat does not make contact with your intestines, with your flesh. The problem with the emulsifiers, and it's taken them many, many, actually decades to figure this out, is that like soap emulsifies fats and washes them away. These emulsifiers emulsify the mucus layer of your intestines and leave you with kind of metal on metal, that scraping of the direct contact of your food with your intestines without that protective layer. And let me see if I can explain why it works. When you take dish soap, I don't know, let's say you've been handling oil, something greasy, and you want to wash it off your hands. Well, if you just go to the sink and run water, you will just be rubbing watery grease around on your hands. And after the water goes away, the grease is still there. But if you take an emulsifier like soap or dishwashing liquid and you put it on there, it will emulsify. In other words, it will chemically bond with the oils, change them into saponins. It will actually change their composition so that they can be washed away. And that same process is happening in your gut when you eat these gums. They emulsify, they combine with the mucosal layer, they create a sort of a foamy, mucousy layer of stuff just like soap would do on your hands with oil. And then when you eat food, the food just washes it right away and it leaves your gut lining exposed. So the problem with all of these emulsifiers is they're in everything. They're very hard to avoid and they are leading to a whole host of problems. Not only gastrointestinal problems, leaky gut syndrome is one. Leaky gut is where your gut is no longer able to protect your body from the food that you eat. The food you eat actually begins leaking through the gut lining into the rest of your body. And that is a very terrible thing to have happen because you eat food and you find yourself getting incredibly sick, in a lot of pain, and ultimately developing cancer. That's what happens at the end point of a lot of this stuff. So let me read you this article. This is out of France. We didn't know this. In fact, I found it out on a show. I was doing a live radio show right here, and I was looking up these different emulsifiers, and I was finding up until about 2023-ish, all of the articles were saying how good they were for us, how wonderful they were, how healthy they were for the gut. And then starting about 23, 24, and I was actually reading the article on the air when I found this, the very first article came out and said, hang on a second, we're actually starting to see that maybe this isn't so healthy. And so there was a shift. If you do your research, if you go on PubMed.gov, which is the National Institute of Health medical library, where all of the peer-reviewed published journal articles are published, and you look up emulsifiers and gut health, you'll find a mixed bag. You'll find pretty much all of the older articles will say how great it is. And then the newer articles, ever since that one that began to go, hang on a minute, the newer articles are finding the exact opposite. So make sure that the articles you're reading when you're researching this are newer, because you will come away going, what's Catherine talking about? All right, this one's from 2024. And I'm going to actually read the abstract. Now, I've talked before about doing research online, medical research. You can go to PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D, PubMed.gov for public medicine, or those of us who are old enough to remember Club Med. It's kind of a play on that. PubMed.gov, you can type in any search that you want on any medical topic or any nutritional topic, and you'll find all the articles published on that topic. So this particular one comes from PubMed. When you find the article you want to read, not all of them have full text, some you got to pay for, but some of them will say full text link here, free. Click it, you can read the article. When you see the articles, these articles are not as hard to understand as you might think. They're technical. Many of them have a whole lot of diagrams and complicated stuff that I don't understand. I'm not a nutritionist. But the one thing you can do is you can read the abstract and the conclusions, and you can pretty much figure out what's going on without being a nutritionist. So this particular article is titled Food Additive Emulsifiers and Cancer Risk, Results from the French Prospective Nutrinet Santé Cohort. Excuse my bad French. All right, here is the abstract. Okay, now an abstract is a 1 to 2 paragraph summary of the overall article, and in most cases, that's all you need to read. You do not need to get into the weeds of the details of the article. You can just look at the abstract, which will probably tell you. Here's what it says. Emulsifiers are widely used food additives in industrial processed foods to improve texture and enhance shelf life. Experimental research suggests deleterious, that's a 50-cent word for harmful, effects of emulsifiers on the intestinal microbiota and the metabolome, leading to chronic inflammation and increasing susceptibility to carcinogenesis. Now, what is this really saying? It hurts your gut and gives you cancer. All right. However, human epidemiological evidence investigating their association with cancer is non-existent. Now, this is 2024. It's since it now does exist. This study aimed to assess associations between food additive emulsifiers and cancer risk in a large population-based prospective cohort. All right, that's the background. And here are the conclusions. Again, I'm reading from the abstract. Conclusions. Methods and findings. You do not need to read all these details. I'll read just the highlights. The study included 92,000 adults of the French Nutrinet Santé cohort without cancer at enrollment. They were followed for an average of 7 years. Food additive emulsifier intakes were estimated for participants. They kept dietary records and brand-specific food composition. So, for example, you would say, I'm eating Hot Pockets, I'm eating Triscuits, blah, 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 right? The overall, out of these 92,000 adults over 7 years, 2,600 cancer cases were diagnosed. And higher intakes of these emulsifiers were associated with higher risk of overall cancer. And they got the numbers here. The conclusions in this large prospective cohort, cohort is just a group of people you're studying, we observed associations between higher intakes of carrageenans and mono and diglycerides of fatty acids with overall cancer risk, including prostate and breast cancer. All right. These provide new epidemiological evidence on the role of emulsifiers in cancer risk. Now, the reason this particular study is not like the ones I talked about a few months ago is breast cancer is in no way connected to your gut, but it is, just not directly. Same with the prostate. All right, stay tuned. Catherine Albrecht here on YouTube. I'll be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com, then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
In this place, truly, God is in this place, truly, incredible, wonderful, holy. In this place, truly, God is in this place, truly, incredible, wonderful, holy.
Hey, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here. Let me make sure my mic is on. I'm doing all this correctly. It's so exciting being back online. I love it. And I can read your comments, by the way, in YouTube. I actually see the chat room up there. I can't respond yet. It says I have to sign in, although you would think I would probably be signed in given that I'm streaming on YouTube, but I'm not able to respond. So let me read some of the comments coming in. I also have some text coming in, 877-536-1360. And let me see if I can answer some questions here. Happy Pap writes in, where you been? I have been broadcasting my show daily, Monday through Friday on KHNC, which you can listen to the audio version on my website at catherine-albrecht.com. But you're right, I have not been on YouTube since before Christmas. So I apologize. I had to switch studios. And I think I'm set up and good to go here. We'll work a little bit more on the lighting, but I'm back and it's exciting. All right, I got another comment in from the David Holland. Wow, Catherine, our family's thrilled to hear and see you. And that is signed Sarah. Beautiful music. Thank you so much. And Ray in Pennsylvania writes in, whether there is research about the effect of parasites on the human gut. That is something that I can do a little research on. I did a show on this back in the old days when I used to do my show on, that might have even been on We the People Radio Network a long time ago. I did a series of shows on the beneficial, you're going to die, but the beneficial aspects, health benefits of having intestinal parasites. I know this sounds absolutely disgusting, but I had a fascinating book, and I think I had the author, I think I had the researcher who had done this research on the show back I don't know, this would have been like 2009, a long time ago. The research that they were finding on intestinal parasites is that they have always been with humanity, and our bodies actually produce a response to them that strengthens our immune system. Now, I'm not going to, don't quote me on that. I'd have to go back and find the research and find the book that I had on that. But it was absolutely fascinating research and showed that our excessive concern for killing germs, getting rid of parasites, and having literally nothing in our bodies at all that is other than us is maybe not as healthy as we think. And when you talk about the microbiome, there was a period of time in the probably starting in the 50s, 60s, 70s, throughout that whole range, where society had an obsession with killing germs, getting rid of all the germs. And had you told a housewife from the 1950s or 60s that she had a massive microbiome going on in her gut and had tons of microorganisms, she would have probably been drinking bleach. I'm exaggerating, but doing everything that she could to get rid of that, because for a period of time, society believed that the only good microbe was a dead microbe. And this is why we had antibacterial hand sanitizer, you know, soaps, antibacterial soaps, especially in the like 80s and 90s, that was a big thing. And then we began developing all of these allergies because young people, children and babies, are not meant to grow up in completely sterile environments because their immune system has to attack something. And if it is not attacking the microbes that have always been coexisting with humanity, the ones that are bad for us, then it will begin attacking the human being's own cells. And so we got a lot of autoimmune disorders. We got a lot of allergies where the body began attacking perfectly normal foodstuffs because they had to be attacking something. So there's a lot of research we can do on the benefits of good bacteria and even exposure to some that are maybe not so good, because it strengthens our defenses and strengthens our immune system. So as far as parasites go, I'm sure there are plenty of parasites out there that are causing all kinds of havoc in the human body. We know that there are parasites that go into the brain and the lungs and all kinds of yucky stuff, and I'm sure that many of the ones in our gut are bad for us as well. But I would be careful before deciding to throw all of them out. All right, other happy pap, Dr. Catherine is back. Thank you so much. It's good to be back. And yeah, and then a four-letter word with YouTube censorship. Actually, I was not off of YouTube because of censorship. I was for about a week. YouTube doesn't like people talking about certain things, which I'm not even going to mention what those certain things are, because I do not want to upset the AI censors who are closely watching every word we speak. But yeah, let's suffice to say that they've got a monopoly on people's speech, making sure that they don't say anything that they don't want to hear. All right. Let me get back to my article. Hang on. I've got my multiple windows here. Let me talk about this French study a little bit more, and then I want to get back to what we're talking about, the 30 plant foods a week. The reason you want to eat plant food is because the gut bacteria in, you know, that have always existed with humanity, thrives on natural food. Why? Because that is what our ancestors ate. That is what these gut bacteria have developed to consume. There is a symbiotic relationship between human beings and the food we eat and the gut bacteria that populate us and eat that food and keep us healthy, keep us mentally strong, keep us physically strong, keep our immune systems functioning, and keep us away from cancer. The problem is that we are not only are we eating things that are bad for our microbiome, but we're not eating the things that are good for our microbiome. Your gut bacteria will match the food you consume. And the food, the gut bacteria that breaks down processed food is, on average, very bad for you. It is the nasty, ugly, yucky things in your gut that contribute to disease, not the ones that keep you healthy. And so if you eat a variety of different foods, you will be supporting a variety of different life forms in your gut. And that's all super good for us. All right, back to the French study, just to read you some more of the highlights here. Emulsifiers are widely used food additives in industrial processed food to improve texture and enhance shelf life. Experimental in vivo, that means in living animals and in people, and in vitro, vitro is vitreous or vidrio if you speak Spanish. It means glass, so test tubes, right? So experimental in vivo and in vitro research, as well as a pilot clinical study on healthy individuals, suggests deleterious, meaning dangerous, effects of food additive emulsifier intake on the intestinal microbiota, host inflammation, and susceptibility to carcinogenesis. So here is why, if you're eating a lot of these emulsifiers, you might get breast cancer or prostate cancer. It's because they create an overall inflammatory response in the body in general. If you have leaky guts, if the food you're eating is leaking into your entire body is going to be affected. This is not just going to be your gut. You're going to be living with chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation creates an environment in your body where cancer will thrive. So wherever that cancer cell wants to get its start, whether it's you've been in the sun too much and it's skin cancer, you've been around too much smoke and it's your lungs that may have some changes, the chronic inflammation will cause those changes to cause your body to have a hard time fixing those changes. Right? To our knowledge, due to challenges to accurately estimate the exposure to food additive emulsifiers through diet so far, there's no available epidemiological evidence from prospective cohorts on food additive emulsifier intakes in relation to cancer risk. Wow. It's a mouthful. So they looked at mono and diglycerides of fatty acids. You want to be looking for those. Carrageenans. Carrageenan is an Irish moss that has kind of like foams, and it's an emulsifier, and it itself has been shown to be carcinogenic. These findings show that emulsifiers increase your cancer risk. You know, big surprise. Yeah. So, and this actually was a big surprise for researchers, because for many years, these emulsifiers were considered to not only be useful in the food industry, not only improve the mouthfeel and creaminess of foods and their stability and shelf life and keep them from separating, but they actually did believe for a long period of time that they were good for you. And so people, this is shocking to even report, but people who were in hospitals for gastrointestinal problems were given puddings made of this stuff on purpose in order to help soothe their stomachs and help soothe their intestinal tracts. And that backfired in a big way. Not good for you at all. All right. On to the, hang on, where'd it go? Too many windows open again. Here we go. How to eat 30 plants a week. So the reason you want to eat plants is because bacteria in your gut love plants. Love, love, love plants. The bacteria in your gut does not want to eat microplastics. It does not want to eat chemicals. It does not want to eat any of that. But if you eat a plant, I'm telling you, your gut bacteria is going to love you for it. So hang on. I'll post a link to this article on my website at katherine-albrecht.com. Let's see. I like this one. Variety and consistency are keys to achieving the health benefits observed in this research. Whether it's 10,000 steps a day, 28 plants a week, it's more about the direction you're going. We should be walking. We should be eating plants. We should be reducing our consumption of processed foods. All right. And it's not that hard to do. It's not that hard to do. Grab, reach for some berries. Have a salad. Yeah, put some lettuce on your burger. Put a tomato on there as well. All right. Yay! Nice to read your comments there. Pray over everything in the name of Jesus Christ. You got it. Eat real ingredients and shortest list ingredients. Stay physically active.